Everlasting by Alex E. Harrow. Read by Moira Quirk and Sid Sagar. The First Death of Una Everlasting.
Una and the You. It begins where it ends, beneath the yew tree. The yew stands in the wood like a great queen grown old, limbs racked with age, head bowed by the weight of her crown. In the gnarled grain of her trunk there is a woman's face with weeping cankers for eyes, and in her heartwood there is a sword driven so deep that only the hilt is still visible. You already know the name of that sword, I think. Who doesn't? They say time runs strangely beneath the yew. They say many things are lost there among the tangled roots, years, hearts, lives. But they say too that some things are found, fates and fortunes, beginnings and endings. And once, a child. You know her name too, or at least one of them. She was still pink and toothless when the woodcutter found her, and he fretted. He needn't have. She grew quickly and well, as wild things do. As a child she was all mischief, her fingertips stained with yewberries, her hair light and fey as dandelion down. As a girl she turned solemn, studying the woods as a saint would study the word. From them she learned everything. She learned to run as the stag runs, and to be still as the goshawk is still, to stalk and to swim, to wrestle and to whistle, to vanish so thoroughly her own father could not find her, and to kill so cleanly she left nothing but a tuft of fur, the metal scent of entrails. She was strong and arrogant in her strength. She was a young lion, a child king, a lord of the wild woods. And yet, she was no one at all. She was nothing, daughter of nothing, heir to nothing. Just another of the numberless, featureless small folk of Dominion, whose name would not be forgotten only because no one ever learned it in the first place. She would die a heathen death, unchristened and unshriven, so that even God would not remember her. But then came her 12th winter, and the brigand prince. She was away when it happened. Perhaps she was stealing feathers for her fletching, or pulling the hide from a hare. What matters is that she was far enough from her father's cottage that she did not hear the ring of iron-shod hooves or the screams. When she returned to the cottage, the fire was cold, and her father was dead. They had taken everything, the sow, the salt box, the pair of axes her father kept above the hearth. So she went to the yew. She wrapped her hands around the hilt of the sword that had waited there for so long that the bark had boiled and knotted around the blade. There were whispers about that sword even then, but she hadn't heard them. She hadn't heard the tales of an ancient blade that neither dulled nor shattered nor rusted, but remained whole and shining. She hadn't heard the prophecy that said it would be drawn only in the country's darkest hour by her rightwise champion. She only knew that her father was dead, and that the hilt in her hand felt like the clasp of an old friend. And so, full of grief and fresh-born fury, she drew the sword from the yew. She overtook the brigand prince and his men that very night, tracking them through new-fallen snow, and found them while they sat sated and dozing around their fire, beards shining with pig fat. She might have slit their throats in silence. She had learned to be silent as the fox is silent. But she was arrogant, and she was angry, so she called out to them first. She allowed them to scrabble blades